I invite you to remain standing for the sermon text from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. You can follow along on the insert included in your bulletin. Again, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. I read in Jesus' name. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at the sound the multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language, Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own languages the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. 'And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, these are your words. Sanctify us in your truth, for your word is eternal truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be holy and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is Pentecost Sunday. And so today is the day that we remember that God, the Holy Spirit, who was there at the beginning of creation, hovering over the waters, is now poured out upon all flesh through those waters of baptism. Pentecost, as you have heard in the past, maybe you don't remember, and that's okay. That's partly why I'm here, to remind you. Pentecost was initially a Jewish festival which remembered the time when the people of Israel surrounded Mount Sinai and God gave His law, His Torah, to the people. And that law, that Torah, those Ten Commandments were God's covenant with the people of Israel. And now, on this day of Pentecost, this day when Peter and the other disciples had the Holy Spirit descend upon them, is where God gives the new covenant in Christ's blood, not just to the disciples, but to all people. Now, imagine all of this with me. If you're a Jew living back in Peter's time, you've just celebrated the Passover. You've remembered how God delivered you and your ancestors out of Egypt. You remembered how you smeared the blood of the Lamb upon your doorposts. You remember how the angel of death passed through the land of Egypt, killing all the firstborn who were not protected by the blood of the Lamb. You remember how God delivered you out of Egypt, out of the land of Pharaoh, out of slavery and bondage. He delivered you through dry ground, through the waters of the Red Sea, and behind you He destroyed and defeated your enemies of Pharaoh and his army in those same waters. 50 days later, now you remember the Pentecost. You remember how your ancestors assembled around Mount Sinai, God's holy mountain, which was covered in fire and in smoke. You remember the fear and terror of your ancestors who were commanded to not even touch the mountain. Your ancestors who feared the voice of God as He thundered out His law, telling them what they shall and what they shall not do. And now, here comes Pentecost. You hear Peter pronouncing that those shadows of festivals, which really were shadows pointing to the fulfillment that was to come, those shadows have passed and the fulfillment is here. The Passover has occurred. The Passover of Christ. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and He has been slain. And the angel of death has passed through the land and killed the firstborn not marked with the blood of the Lamb. And so the angel of death killed only Christ. You remember how God has defeated now your enemies of sin, death, and the devil by that sacrifice of Christ. And now 50 days later, on this day, as Peter is preaching, you hear about the new Pentecost. And you're assembled not around Mount Sinai filled with thunder and lightning and terror, but you're assembled around God's holy mountain, Mount Zion. Mount Zion, which you are invited to climb, to be in the presence of God. And the voice of God doesn't thunder out commands, thou shalt and thou shalt not. Instead, He speaks the word of the gospel. The shadows of the old have passed. The fulfillment and the new has come in Christ. Christ had said that repentance and forgiveness in His name should be proclaimed into all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. And look in our text how easy God made it for this to happen. Rather than the disciples and the others assembled with Him, about 120 people, rather than them having to go to the ends of the earth, God brings devout men from all corners of the earth right to them to stand right before them so that they can hear the mighty acts of God in Christ Jesus. And so those on whom the Spirit had descended in tongues of fire, they prophesy, they preach about what Christ has done. We really begin to misunderstand prophecy when we think it's foretelling things that are going to happen. Prophecy is simply speaking for someone else. And so these disciples prophesy about Christ and what He has done. And in this day of Pentecost, all the corners of the earth hear that message. And Paul reaffirms that in Romans 10. He says that the voice of the gospel of Jesus has gone throughout the earth, even to the ends of the world. Peter preaches that these are the last days. How do we know that these are the last days? Well, Scripture gives us pretty two clear indications of what the last days are. In 1 John, we're told that Antichrist has come, and if you see Antichrist preaching, you know that the end days have come, the last days have come. But Peter here says that as the Holy Spirit has been poured out and is being poured out upon those who hear the gospel message, he says this is an indication that the last days have begun. A new age has dawned. This is precisely what the prophet Joel was saying would be God's doings in the last days, that He would pour out His Spirit on all flesh, and that all these different types of people would prophesy and speak of the mighty acts of God. To understand a little bit better about why Peter would choose this text to preach from, it's from Joel chapter 2, the end of Joel chapter 2. And it's important for us to understand a little bit the context so that we can know what Peter's talking about. These verses in Joel, the context is that a plague of locusts has come and gone, and now Joel is calling the people to repentance before the day of the Lord comes. That plague that they had just experienced, as terrible as it was, will be nothing compared to the wrath and judgment of God when the day of the Lord comes. when you look in the Gospel of John, Jesus in John chapter 12, beginning the week, beginning Holy Week, I believe it was on Palm Sunday, Jesus says, "Now is the judgment of this world." And he was speaking of the cross. God's final judgment upon sin has come. And all of God's wrath for all of humanity's sin all fell upon Christ. And he endured it all so that you might be forgiven. That's why Peter, as he continues in this sermon, he speaks about Christ. He speaks about what Christ has done. You'll hear the rest of Peter's sermon in one of next week's readings from Acts 2. But just to give you a little preview of what's coming, Peter says that this Jesus did many signs and miracles in the sight of many people, and yet he was delivered over into the hands of evil men to be crucified and killed. But God would not allow His Holy One to see corruption. Instead, God raised Him from the dead. And Peter talks about how just 10 days before, that same Christ ascended into heaven, where He is now seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, ruling and reigning over all creation. Christ's kingdom is now. His rule is here through the power of His Spirit and His Word. And Peter tells that crowd assembled before him, he says, "You were the ones who handed him over. You are the ones who killed the author of life." And the people hear this, and Acts tells us that they were cut to the heart. And they ask Peter, "Well, what shall we do?" And so Peter, right along with Joel, what Joel had done before, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord calls to Himself." There's an urgency in this text from Acts. There's an urgency in Peter's sermon as he proclaims all of these things that God is doing through sending His Holy Spirit to tell the world about what Jesus has done. There's an urgency there because it is the last days. How much more then for us who hear this message now some 2,000 years later, how much more urgent for us to believe this Word of God? How much more urgent for us to also repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins? Are you already baptized? Good. Remember the promises that God made to you there. His promise that He has forgiven your sins, washed them away for His name's sake. That He has made you His child for His name's sake. And that He has ushered you into His glorious presence both now and for eternity. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus now and forevermore. Amen.